in our lives and how that works. The Word of God. A young man was on his way to Duke University as a freshman, and his mom and dad thought it'd be a good idea. They thought, you know, our son's going off on his own, and one of the most important things they could ever do for him, and they bought him a Bible. And his dad and mom emphasized, they said, it's very important for you to understand one thing, son, that this is going to be a very important thing in your life. Make sure you read your Bible. It's going to help you throughout all of your life while you're at school and at a campus. God wants to bless you. Son, read your Bible. Well, son's letters were coming home pretty frequently, and he was just kept writing home saying, Mom, Dad, send money. Mom, Dad, send money. And they kept writing back. Every time they got a letter from their son, they would write back, Son, read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. And they would write a passage and a reference and send it. Well, their son finally came home for Christmas break. He says, I don't understand. I kept writing to you. And they said, you haven't been reading your Bible, have you, son? They said, how do you know? And they said, because every time we wrote a letter to you, we gave you a passage of Scripture. Open up your Bible and go back. So he grabbed all the letters and he went back and looked them up. And in every place where they had written those Scriptures, there were $10 and $20 bills in his Bible. His mom and dad were thinking pretty good there. It's important to say, you need to understand, there's a blessing in the Word of God. Son, you got to get a hold of it. You got to get a handle in life. And the best way to get a handle in any life isn't your college education. It isn't your job. Getting a handle in life is getting into the Word of God. You see, there's blessings in here. And if we'll get into it, we'll find those blessings for our own lives. And so this morning, we're talking about getting a grip. I think it's important to understand that life, we need to kind of grab a hold of. We have to have a good, strong grip in life. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives, and we need to have those things. It was John Wesley who had 13 siblings, brothers and sisters. Now, there were more, but not all of them lived. His mom and dad had a very large family. And when John Wesley was growing up, his father was a preacher. And they lived in the parsonage. Well, they lived actually, the church was down below, and their apartment was up above. And one day they came home to find the church was on fire. And John had not gotten out of the house upstairs. And there was no way to get to him. And he was just a boy at the time. And so they grabbed a hold of all the people in the area. The men all gathered together and they made a human pyramid ladder. And they got up to the window and they plucked him out of the flames of the window and saved his life as a boy. His mom, Susanna Wesley, came up with a statement she found in the Old Testament from Jeremiah the prophet. And she said to her son, Son, you are a brand plucked from the burning. You are a special thing that God grabbed a hold of and gripped, and he pulled you right out of that fire. He has something for your life. Well, John Wesley grew up believing this, believing that God had gripped him, and that had gripped John Wesley's life. And he believed that there was something special. You see, his mom had a grip on the Word of God, and she took that, and she put that right into John Wesley's life. And of course, he rode over 500,000 miles on the back of a donkey between Newcastle, London, and Bristol, preaching all over Europe, sharing the gospel. At 5'1", he wasn't a sight to behold. He was a little man who preached with authority, exousia, as though he had the right to say something. And I want you to know something. When you have the Word of God, you have the right to say something. We live in a society that wants to apologize for the Bible. We live in a church society that wants to apologize for the Bible. Well, I want to be very careful what I say and how I say it, because people might be offended. Let me tell you something. God's been saying it for 3,500 years through His Word and 6,000 years through creation. I don't think you need to apologize for God. He can handle it just fine. I'm excited about the Word this morning. I've been diving in this week, and my accountability partners are here today, and I asked them to be my accountability partners. I said, you know, it's so easy for me to read the Bible, but not to take it in and just kind of, the Bible. When I read the Bible as a pastor, what I usually do is have a notepad, and if I read a passage, I go, oh, that'd be a good sermon. I'll preach that in February. Oh, I wonder what the Greek says in that. And instead of just reading the Bible and taking it in and wondering what that means to me in my life, I tend to do it like a job. Now, I don't know about you, when you read the Bible, what it's like for you in your life. I don't know if it's like a job and a task. But my accountability partner's here, and I said, I want you to ask me this week as we're going through Matthew, and now this next week as we go through Mark, and then Luke, and then John. I said, I want you to ask me this question. I want you to ask me, are you reading the Word, and what are you getting? What is God speaking to you about? And sure enough, it's happening. They're asking me. And God has been speaking to my heart. Just me, not pastor, but just me. And he's saying, the Word of God is so rich, Mitch. You just need to understand it can change your life again. And that's what I want in my life. You know, I want to talk to you about getting a grip. And you have your Bibles. Hold your Bibles up for me. Would you do that? You guys got a pretty good grip. I want to talk to you about it because your hand has a pretty good grip on it. If you've got a good, firm grasp on that, go ahead and take those down, set those down. It's interesting when you held them up. I said, I want you to take and hold it up with just one finger. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's going to be pretty hard to do, isn't it? It's pretty hard to balance the Word of God without a good grip in it. There you go. It's pretty hard to do. See, your grip is an important thing. Your hand is an amazing thing. We have a lot of terms about the hand. It says, I mean, you got things like, you know, you give a hand up. You know, you reach down, you give someone a hand up. That means you get a good grip on it. If you're going to give someone a hand up, you want to make sure you have a good grip. I don't know if you've ever done that. You know, usually I was thinking about this. I thought, when you're around a swimming pool, that happens a lot. Hey, give me a hand up. And you know what the people down there are really trying to do. Oh, yeah, if they're anything like my friends, you're not trying to give them a hand up. They're trying to pull them in. But, you know, you give them a hand up, so you got to have a good grip, though. And so you get a good hand grip. That's a hand up. Helping somebody out. Or if they've fallen, you want to give them a hand up. Or how about this? You want to grab life by the horns. There's a term about getting a good grip. You want to grab life by the horns. I grabbed some horns one time. Not a smart thing to do. I had gotten bucked off a bull in a rodeo, bareback riding in a rodeo one time. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things you do when you're young and dumb. And that when they threw me off and the guy said, you don't need to worry about the bull. He won't do anything with his horns. That's just not true. He was mad because I was on him. He was mad because everything. And he swung around, and I went to grab life by the horns. Because that's what I figured I'd do when he swung around. I'm sitting there on my rear end. Grab the bull. Then he can't do anything. As I went to grab it, fortunately, the rodeo clown kind of came over, and he got his attention, and off the bull went. You know, I don't know if you really want to grab life by the horns, okay? I don't know what that means other than get ready, because if you don't have a good grip, you're going to go flying when that thing comes up. So you go ahead and grab life by the horns. But let me tell you something. You better have a good grip because you're about to go flying. We talk about that. Grabbing life by the horns. I don't know what that means. It sounds like a big party thing. Grab life by the horns. Go for the gusto. How about a helping hand? Now, I like a helping hand. That's the kind of grip that kind of reaches down. It's firm, but it's gentle. And some of you have even done that maybe this week with your spouse. You just kind of used your hands to be firm but gentle. You kind of took her by the hand, guys, and you held her hand. And it wasn't one of these sloppy, you know, kind of soft like squid kind of, I'm holding her hand. No, you kind of took her by the hand and you went for a walk somewhere. Or your children, maybe you grabbed one of your kids and you just used that firm, loving hand grip. A loving hand, a helping hand. How about this? Sometimes we have a grip in life. We hold on to the past. Now, there's a grip a lot of people hold on to. Maybe that's one you ought to let go of. And I tell you, people get a pretty good firm grip on holding on to the past. But I want to talk, I remember seeing this. I love the cartoon captions. There's two of them. Hang in there, baby. You ever see anybody kind of holding on? Maybe you're holding on with a grip to the end of your rope. And I remember seeing a cat hanging over a bunch of dogs. And the caption underneath and had its claws up in the tree branch looking down, and these dogs are just sitting there just licking their lips, you know. And the caption said, hang in there, baby. Now, I like that one, but the other one I really enjoyed, I saw this picture somebody emailed me of a stork. And the stork had swallowed this huge frog. And the frog was down the throat, but the frog had its front, you know, legs up and had a hold of that stork's throat. I may be going down, but I ain't going down for good. Hang in there, baby. You know, you got me halfway down, but not all the way. And hang in there, baby. You know what? You got to get a grip in life. And I want to talk to you about getting a grip on the Word of God. If we're going to be disciplined in the Word of God, I want to share with you kind of a good grip. And we'll use the hand as an example of getting a good grip. You held your Bibles up there. You guys had a great grip. But let's start this way. The first thing in the Bible, the first thing to get a good grip on the Word of God is to hear the Word of God. You hear the Word of God at church. You hear the Word of God. Maybe you hear a scripture. We hear the Word. Do you know that we only remember 10%? Dave was talking about remembering names. We only remember 10% of what we hear. So if 10 people introduce themselves to Dave today, there's a chance by the recognition, he's only going to remember one person's name. I did a wedding Friday, and it was funny because the couple had met, he went up and he was kind of, you know, talking to her, and they were in a club somewhere, and he was just really impressed with her. And he walked away, and he was talking to his cousin. He said, "I'm going to ask her out. She's someone I think, wow." He was just overwhelmed by her, you know, just kind of captured. So he went up to her, he says, "Would you go out with me tomorrow?" And then she looked at him, she goes, "What's my name?" And he goes, "I don't know." She said, "If you can remember my name, I'll go out with you tomorrow." He spent 30 minutes walking around that club trying to find someone that would tell him her name. And she said she was so impressed that he was willing to even do something like that, that she went out with him, and then Friday they were married. It was a wonderful story, actually. Remembering things. You remember 10% of what you hear, and I want to tell you, to try to get a grip on that, 10%, look what the scripture says in Psalm 19. We hear the Word of God in our lives. Do you know that you hear the Word of God every day, whether you have a Bible or not? See, hearing the Word of God does not have to be physical words. Look at what it says in Psalm 19 in verses 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory. The skies proclaim the works of your hands. And look what they do. I love this. Day after day, they pour forth what? Speech. The heavens and the skies actually speak to us. They ought to say to us, "You know what? Here I am. I'm the Lord." And they ought to speak to us. Do you know that we should take time and listen for God, because God is everywhere trying to talk to us? It says, "There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard." Isn't that great? God, you don't have to be a great missionary and say, "I got to speak some language to go into the jungle." All you need to know is say, God has already been here. And if we look around, we can understand that God has displayed himself through what has been created. It says his voice is crying out. If you've ever stood at the ocean, you can hear it, the roars crashing by the sea. That can speak to our hearts and say, there's got to be something. And you just feel like you're overwhelmed that there's something greater than yourself. And it's talking about that. But you know, the Word of God speaks to us and we hear it. But the problem with hearing, it's like the pinky finger. If I said, "Get a grip, I want you to hold on to your Bible with your pinky." Not very good grip. And if I said to you, this is a good discipline, do you know that this is about where most Christians have their faith, is right about here. Most Christians only hear the Word of God. It comes in the ear and right out the other. That's what my dad always used to say. "Boy, have you heard a word I've said? It's going in one ear and right out the other." And I thought, well, then why did you ask me? And why is it doing that? Let's get a plug. I mean, what do we got to do here? Because when you hear things, it doesn't stick. It's probably the lowest form of strength trying to grip the Word of God. And it's the most easily misunderstood part of it. You know how easy it is to misunderstand the Bible? Do you know there's a scripture that says, "I beat my body daily"? Do you know there's groups of people who beat their bodies every day in Latin America? They do. Because they believe that that's what God wants them to do. Do you know there's another scripture? It's so easy to misunderstand when you just hear the Word of God and that's all you do. I heard someone once say, Paul said, "I beat my body daily and I make it a slave to myself." Well, you want to take things out of context. The Bible says, husbands, listen, says to you wives, it says, you know, I could take it out of context and say, "Well, honey, the Bible says that your body's not yours, it's mine. And I'm supposed to beat my body daily." Yeah, you want to take stuff out of context. That's why I get the black eye. I don't know. Yeah, my wife took that to heart. Think about it. You could take the scripture and you can make it say almost anything you want. And people do, because they hear something. They go, "Oh, I heard something once on the radio." And they come up to me, "Pastor, this is..." And I sit there and I go, and I sometimes I just don't have the heart to say, "What are you listening to? Do you know what that says?" Most people don't even understand what the Bible says. I find more theologians in my life. People come up to me and they go, well, you know, I mean, you guys can believe and say this about the Bible, and you can say this about your religion, but, you know, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible? I heard once. I'm thinking, oh, all of a sudden you're a Bible scholar. I mean, you'll hear presidents and politicians quoting the Bible, and I think, well, now they're scholars in the Bible. They heard something once, and they go to practice it. And we got to be careful. I want to say to you this. If the only thing in your life is getting a grip with God, I've got a grip, God. I've got a hold of this Word of God, and it's only with hearing the Word of God, I want you to know you can be in dangerous territory. It's easy to be misunderstood. I find myself to do that. When you try to start speaking the language of God because you heard it once, doesn't make you an expert, okay? Be careful to say that's all you do. Move beyond it. It's good. You need to hear the Word of God. I remember hearing Spanish, thinking I'm a Spanish expert. I can speak Espanol. And so I tried it, and I've shared it before. I mean, in Mexico, it's not a fun thing to do when you don't know what you're doing, and you think, well, I've got it, I've heard it, I can go ahead and implement it in my life. When you're standing there and you put your arm around a guy who's in your ministry team, and you say to your translator, this is my friend, Paco or Frank, and you say, this is my hermosa, because I heard someone use the word, which means brother in Christ, I thought. It's not hermosa, it's hermano. And I said hermosa, and I know that most of you know that means this is my woman, this is my lover. And when that guy looked at me, he just went, okay? Which means what? And I said, mi hermosa, Paco. And he said, okay? And I said, hermosa, Paco? And he said, no. And then I asked him, what did I say? And he said, you said this is my woman, my lady, my woman. You see, we start throwing the scripture around like we know the scripture. Oh, well, the Bible says. And then I turn around and then I really threw it out there. You know, then I'm like, oh, I'm so embarrassado. And he goes, no, 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 no. Which means I am pregnant. And so, true story. Because what happens is we hear the Word of God. And all of a sudden, we get so excited, we get out there, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do this. And God says, hold on, you just heard that today. Let's start working it into your life a little bit, because that activates our faith. You see, the Apostle Paul says almost the exact same thing. I found this interesting in my study this week, is Psalm 19, verse 1, 2, and 3, Paul quotes it in Hebrews. In Romans. Excuse me, if you'll turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says the exact same thing to us today. And if you want to get a good grip in your life, take a look at this verse. This is the benefit of hearing the Word of God. Chapter 10, verse 17, Paul says, consequently, faith comes from hearing. You get faith from hearing. Do you know that in the Bible, that's one of the only places it says where faith comes from? You get faith from hearing, and you get faith from hearing the Word of God. You see, I want to be a faith person. I want to live my life not by what I see. Faith is not what I see, but faith is the evidence of things unseen and the certainty of things hoped for. If in my life I want to live as a man of God, and I want to activate my faith so that something's happening, and I honestly believe that God's going to do that in my life, I've got to live by faith. If I simply look at my situation over here and say, well, I understand my situation. It's not going to change. I understand that my spouse and I, or I understand that my finances, I understand that my children, and I live by what I see. I'm not living by hearing what God's been saying. God is saying, stop living that way. Well, I hear you, but it's going right out the other end. How many sermons have we heard in church that have gone in one side and right out the other? And God's saying to us, live by faith. Live by faith. Live your life by faith. Well, how can I live my life by faith? And then you hear someone say, get in the Word, get in the Word. And you ask yourself the question, how much are you in the Word? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. If I want to live my life, I got to go, I'm living by faith. I don't live by what I see. I live by what God sees. I can't see this right now. You can put a telescope on this stage. And I know Bill back there who's in crutches trying to follow the example of his pastor. God bless you. We got crutches all over the place. We got followers coming in. And I sympathize with you after 8 weeks with those things, trust me. But you know what? We live by faith. Now I just lost my whole train of thought. Oh, Bill. Bill's got telescopes. He's got these things. He can look at the moon. He can look at the stars. I can put that telescope up here. You'd look up at it, and if you just looked at it, it would mean nothing to you. You have got to put your eye through the lens, and you have got to look through the telescope, not at the telescope. And as a Christian, I can't just hear the Word of God. I can't just have it kind of come to me. I got to look through the Word of God. If I'm going to live as a man of faith, I can't just stare at the Bible. I got to look through the Bible. How does God see life? And I want to see life the same way God sees it. Now I'm a man of faith. But we live in the natural, and that's just the pinky. Now, that's not a very good grip on the Word, but it's a good beginning. Then this next finger, we need to not just hear the Word, we need to read the Word. And this finger, I love this finger. It is the ring finger. It is commitment. This ring in my life represents one thing between me and my wife. It represents the fact that I have said in my life, it is you and you alone until death do us part. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, until death. That's my wife. I wear this every day. It's a reminder. I have this. We use this as a symbol. And this isn't what makes my life. This isn't what makes my life faithful to my wife. What makes my life faithful to my wife is the faithfulness that I live because I have made a decision that that's what I will do. And in our lives with Christ, not only do we need to hear the Word, we need to read the Word. The commitment that we have to Jesus Christ is this, that daily I want to spend time. If I said to my wife, I love you, 22 years ago, I told her when we stood up and said, yes, I do, I told her I loved her. And if I said to her, you know, if I told you once I loved you, and I'll let you know if I ever change my mind, that wouldn't go so well. Could you imagine a relationship where in a marriage, well, I know I haven't been home in a few weeks, but, you know, if I show up once in a while, I know we haven't talked in several days or a month or two. That's not a good recipe for a good marriage. You got to talk. You've got to communicate. You got to be intimate. You got to spend time. You've got to sit quietly and just enjoy one another. You've got to communicate, verbalize. You use facial expressions, everything about you. You connect. And God's saying, I want you to get into the Word. I want you to read the Word of God because seeing is believing. You know, a lot of people come up to me and they say, well, yeah, I believe in the Bible. I understand it. But many people have never read the Bible. They don't know what's even in here. And it's an interesting thing because for us, look at what the Bible says in Psalm 19. Our text continues and it says, in verse 7 and 8, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Do you know when you read the Bible, it revives your soul? I don't know about you, but when I get into the Word of God, it begins to stir something in my heart. If you have not been stirred by God, there's a good chance you haven't been stirred in the Word. You haven't been in here. Because when you start reading things in here, it begins to transform who you are. You start reading going, now I understand that. I'm going to be a part of that. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 29, he was talking to the Pharisees. They came to him and they just stared at him. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you just kind of look at someone and you go, what are you talking about? My daughter said that happened to her in school the other day. She just turned 7. And she was in school and she had her head down and the teacher called on her because she got into trouble because she had her head on her desk. And she wasn't hearing the teacher calling her name. Abby, Abby, Abigail, Abby, Abby. Finally, she just kind of looked up and she sat up. She goes, you're not to have your head on the desk. And she got a little demerit mark for having her head on the desk. And she said, Mom, Dad, she goes, I wanted to cry because she was calling my name. And then she said this, 7 years old. She said, but Mom, have you ever just looked at someone and they're talking, but you have no idea what they're saying? She goes, that was happening. And she was staring. She could hear her name, but she had no idea. And I said, you're 7. That happens when you're 44. All the time. You just kind of go, what? And I know it happens to teenagers. all the time. You keep saying it over, and they just look at you. What? My dad used to say that to me. Oh, it was just a beautiful thing. It's a great picture. And that's what the Bible's saying here. It's the picture where Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, the Pharisees are looking at him. They're going, we see his lips moving. We have no idea what he's saying. And he says this, you're in error because you think that by the scriptures you might get saved. But you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. What? And they just stare at him. And they don't get it. Are you kidding me? They know the Word of God. They've got the Word of God, but they just stare at him. Let me tell you. Here's the translation. You can look at the Word of God. You can stare at the Word of God. God can be speaking to you. But if you aren't hearing to understand it and reading and getting into it, it's not going to connect with you. It's interesting that Jesus used these two things and he put them together. He says, you know the Word of God, but you don't know the power of God. In other words, well, then he goes, I'm sorry. He says, you don't know what the scripture means. That's what he's saying. He says, you know the word, but you don't know it. And you don't know the power that comes from it. Do you know that God wants to work power into our lives? He doesn't want us just to read this and go, oh, that was a nice book. He wants to have power going through our lives. The word of God is powerful. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 1:16, it says the word of God, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. The very word that he uses there is used throughout the scripture. It's the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. He says, this word is dynamite. I'd say something, but I'd lose half of you on an old show by a guy named J.J. Dynamite. What's happening, or something like that. Is that good times? Good times. It's dynamite. The Bible says the Word of God is dynamite in our lives. It is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It is alive in our lives. And he wants us to get that. You know what's interesting? I find this, that the Word of God, we need to get a grip. We need to get a committed grip to God. We need to get a hold of the Word of God in our lives, and we need to be committed to the Word of God. And that's where I think the problem of our grip is, we have a very loose grip because our commitment is pretty loose. Thomas in John, didn't he try to get a grip on Jesus? He tried to get a handle on this thing. Jesus shows up and Thomas isn't in the room. And there's Peter and Andrew and all these guys. And they're going, wow. And Jesus is resurrected. He's standing there. He says, look, guys, I'm alive. Which ought to just get you excited right there. He says, I'm alive. Look at, death didn't have any power over me. And he stands in the room. These guys are so excited. They start telling the guys and the gals that weren't there, Thomas was one of those that weren't in the room. Thomas shows up and they're saying, Thomas, you're not going to believe this, but you got to believe it. Jesus Christ is everything he said he was, everything we read about, everything in history pointing towards him. He is who he said he was. He is who he is, and he is alive. He is no longer dead. He is alive. And Thomas looks and goes, I don't believe it. And he said, unless I see it. You got to read the word. You got to see the word. And Jesus is the word. He is the logos of our lives. And so he has to see the word for himself. And Jesus shows up and there's Thomas. And he goes, oh, I believe now. No, he still doesn't believe. He thinks he's being overwhelmed by a premonition or some kind of hallucination. He says, unless I put my fingers in his hands and my hand and get a grip on the word. Today, you get to hold up the word. Thomas got to put his hand in the word. He literally reached his hand right into the side of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the living word, and he touched him. And he said, my Lord and my God. And it says he fell on his face. And Jesus said, get up. I love that. So simple. Nothing profound like, thou art now in the presence. You know, he says, get up. Why? Because it's me. He's just simply saying the simplicity. And he says, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and will believe in me. Listen, we've got to get a commitment to the Word of God. We need to get a grip on who Jesus Christ is in our lives. We need to allow the Word of God to happen. I love what Ezra did reading the Word. Ezra, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, Here's how he handled it. He says, you want to know the word of God? Let's see. Lyle, you're the head of your house. Dan, head of your house. And Bill, the head of all that household there. And Frank and Kevin and all these guys. Well, I say the head of the house. The women are going, what? Head of my house? No, the head of the house. Ezra the scribe got together all the men who are the heads of their houses, finding the oldest one still alive that was in charge, okay? And said, come here, guys. And on the second Sabbath of every month, he said, we're going to take this entire Sabbath, and I'm going to teach you the Word of God. And you know why he did that? He says, let's read the Word of God together. Let's go through this. Let's see it. Let's study this together. Now you guys go home and teach your families. And that's what they did. And so Dan and Bill and Frank and all you guys, and you guys were responsible then to take the Word of God home and show it then to your children. And that's the solution, reading the Word of God. That's getting a pretty good grip, reading the Word of God. I don't know how much you read the Word of God, if you're committed to it or if you just hear it. But then we got the third part here. The third part is this. We need to study the Word of God, and that's the middle finger. It's our longest finger, usually, but not for everyone. But this Word of God needs to be committed so that we can get a better grip. Three fingers. I get a pretty good grip on my Bible with three fingers. I get a pretty good grip. It's really starting to come together. And what this is study the Word of God. The Bible says we need to study it. It says in verse 10 or 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure. Let me tell you about the middle finger. Don't be nervous. Some of you are waiting. The middle finger is pretty much the way the world looks at the Bible. The middle finger is pretty much how the church looks at the Bible. If I were to ask you this question, I wonder how this church would answer it. Do you believe every single word in here is absolutely true and nothing in here is false? And the world looks and says, you believe that? You actually believe that book? Are you kidding me? And here's what I hear. The number one thing I hear from people, you can't possibly believe in something that men wrote because there's a lot of errors in it. And are you ready for this? The church itself has made that statement in America. 91% of the church in America has made the statement in the Barna study. 91% have said, we do not believe that the Word of God is absolutely true. 91% of the church, we're not even outside the church yet. And they say, oh, it's not true. Here's what I do. I just had someone last week do this to me. They said, well, you know, it was written by men. It's got a lot of errors. And I walked up to that individual like I do to almost any person that says this to me. I said, here you go. Show me one. I got a checkbook in my back pocket. I'll give you $1,000 and I will quit my job today if you show me that one error. Because you said there's lots in here. I'm just asking for one. Show it to me. Well, I don't know where it's at. I heard someone say, no. You just made a statement. What am I doing believing in this? Go ahead and show me. Because I will quit tomorrow. If you can show me one error. This has been tested and proven over time. 40 different authors speaking 3 different languages over 1,500 years, and they got their act together. I watched CNN the other day, and they couldn't even get the story down south straight between 2 eyewitnesses. Well, I was standing there by my trailer, and the tornado came in. And then the person next door, well, I was standing there by my trailer, and I think it was a train. They can't even get the story straight. I remember watching when they were rescuing that little girl out of the well that had fallen down in the pit, and they dug her up for 3-4 days. They were digging and working. Thank you. Very good. And I watched them, and they got the story wrong 3 different ways on the news. I said, how can you get it wrong? You got the videotape. You got video. We don't have videotape. We have oral tradition and writings of scribes who, if they got it wrong, were put to death. Maybe our media would be a lot better if they had that as a rule. The story was, well, I'm not sure what happened. Over to you, Jane. Yeah, let her handle it. The Word of God, We need to study the Word of God. We need to get into the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, John 5:39, it's funny. John 5:39, if you'll turn in your Bibles, here's those Pharisees staring at Jesus again. And they said the same thing 2,000 years ago that the world says today. And I need to stop saying the world says. It's the church. Honestly, guys, it's the church. The church doesn't believe this. And look at John chapter 5. Verse 39. And he's speaking again here about those naysayers. And in verse 39, he says, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life." And then he straightens it out. "These are scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Jesus is saying, everything written in this book has an arrow, and it points to Jesus. There isn't anything in the Old Testament that ever happened in Genesis all the way through Malachi that didn't point to one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. There wasn't anything in the book of Acts all the way through the book of Revelation that didn't point back and say, there it is, the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything in all of history points to what split your calendar at 2007 this year. Back in time, it split it right in half. There was BC and there's AD. Everything in life in this book points to Jesus Christ. He says, you think you read this thing for you? You read this thing to point you towards me. Every time I read the Word of God, here's what I do. When I study the Word of God, it points me in my life to Jesus Christ. You see, I walk around, and if I'm not in the Word, there's times I start, here's what I point towards. I have no idea how I'm going to pay that bill this month. My kids, oh, can you believe that so-and-so did such-and-such? How in the world are we going to deal with that? Can you believe the economy right now? We thought this thing was going to get built out here. Is Granholm not going to do anything to change this? Is she still going to keep blaming other people? How are we going to look to see what's happening? Everything in my life is pointing towards everything in my life. I get into the Word of God and it says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You know what I just did? I just pointed right to Jesus. Because I got in the Word, and the Word says, don't think about what you're going to wear. Don't think about what you're going to look like. Don't think about what your money's going to be. Don't think about what you're going to eat today. Those things are going to happen. Is not a sparrow in the world. You think he wakes up in the morning, the sparrow going, where am I going to find food today? Even those nasty seagulls down at the boardwalk don't even think about where they're going to feed. They're going to get fed. And Jesus said, my Father takes care of those. How much more valuable are you than a sparrow? Why are you worried and looking? You haven't studied the Scriptures. You're not walking in that faith. You're not looking at the things of God. You don't have your eye in the telescope. You're not looking through it. You're just staring at it going, yes, I'm a Christian and I have certain beliefs. But nothing in your life is being activated because you can't see the glory of God through the scope of His lens. And we need to take the Word of God and get that scope through and study what it says. And my Bible tells me that God has every authority in my life. He has everything in my life taken care of. It doesn't matter what happens. And I may get complaining, and I may get down, and I might get grumbly. And God says, what are you doing? Do not grumble, do not complain, but I tell you, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me tell you that again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Oh, I forgot you were near me. I forgot you were with me. I forgot I was with you. How many times in your life have you forgotten that God is with you? Man, how are you going to do this? Let's do this quick. The next one is this. Here's a grip. If you had four fingers and you could do it, your index finger is the next one, and that is memorize the Word. Do you know, by the way, 10% you remember what you hear, 20% of what you see, 40% is what you study, but 100% of what you memorize, you remember. I know that's pretty deep, but... And I get a grip, and here it is. Number one, the number one thing I ought to do in my life, I ought to memorize the Word of God. I ought to be committing it to memory. And I'm going to give you this quick. David said in Psalm 119, he says, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I won't sin against you. That's verse 11. Verse 9 said, how can a young man keep his way pure? by living according to your word. Look at what Psalm 19 says. Psalm 19 answers the question in verse 11. By them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Verse 12, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. You want to know how to keep from living a life that's not pleasing to God? You got to memorize, put the word of God in your heart. It was Jesus himself. I can't believe the audacity of the devil. The audacity of the devil. Do you know what he always does? He challenges the word of God in your life. Did God really say that you ought to go to church? Did God really say that you ought to tithe? Yeah, I went for the two big ones. I went for the big guns. I pulled them both out of the holsters. Why not? I could have said, did God really say don't lie? Did God really say don't kill anyone? And we'll all go, yeah. No, let's just pull out the guns. Did God really say, kids, honor your mother and father? Did God really say that you should obey them? And if you don't, you should be put to death? Did God really say, Adam, did God really say you shouldn't eat this fruit? Well, you know, now I think about it, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Didn't you memorize it? Didn't you memorize, hey, every tree but that tree? Didn't you commit that to memory? Don't you know where that tree is? How long have you been in the garden? Don't touch that tree. Did God really say? And the audacity, he shows up in the wilderness to Jesus and says, hey, you haven't eaten for 40 days. How hungry are you? Whew, I'm pretty hungry. 40 days, a month and a half. You haven't eaten anything? Not a bite. How hungry? Hey, you see those stones? Won't God let you turn those stones into bread? Wouldn't that be great? And what did Jesus do? He had memorized the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word of God. Oh, come on. Hey, didn't God say somewhere in the scripture? Oh, I know he did. And devil starts quoting scripture. Hey, didn't he say, jump off of this place and his angels will never let his son bruise his foot? Yeah, God did say that. What did Jesus do? Oh, you know what? But I memorized the scripture better than you. He also said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Oh, come on, look it. Tell you what, let me just show you everything. See all this stuff? Look, bow down, and I'll give it to you. It is written, thou shalt honor the Lord thy God and serve him only. It is written, it is written, it is written. How can a young man keep his way pure? It is written. How can you live by faith? It is written. How can you follow God's example as a family member? It is written, it is written, it is written. And we go on and on and on. But we're almost apologetic to get in to what is written. Now, if I said to you, go ahead and take your Bible, and from now on, I want you to use those four fingers. That's about as far as we go. Some might even do that. Let me let you know, that's a great grip. I can get a good grip, but I don't have my thumb. I don't have my thumb. Now, the thumb is not a phalange. It is an appendage. It is not a finger. It is an appendage. Well, good, because it's what's going to wrap up the other four. It is what supports everything else, and that is meditate on the word. And meditation is this, and let's wrap this up. It is the thumb. Meditation, the Bible says, may the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Meditation is this. It is taking the word of God and applying it to my daily life. Jesus knew how to take the Old Testament and to bring it into everyday living in his own life. And you and I must meditate upon the word of God day and night, the Bible says. And I want to give you the promise of this. It says, you will be like a tree planted by streams of living water. Now, I don't know if you've ever been planted by streams in your life, but meditate. It is the bridge that brings everything together. We live in a world that wants to get rid of the truth of God. I don't mind that the Bible is not in the courtrooms. I don't mind that the Bible isn't in the classrooms in our schools. I don't mind that it's not in our public displays in our public parks. I don't mind that as much. Now, would I like them there? Absolutely. What I mind is that it's not in the hearts of Christians. We got a world that rises up, oh, we ought to get the Bible back in the courtroom. Well, yeah, we ought to. We ought to stand up and say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I think we ought to put the Ten Commandments back in every public school. Don't get me wrong. But while we got a world out there fighting for something that people don't want, we got a world in the church that's fighting for something that they ought to have. We got a church that ought to have the Word of God in their hearts, and we're not putting the Word in our hearts. In fact, it is rare that people are picking up the Word, they're committing it to their heart, they're studying the Word, and then they're meditating on it to take quiet time to go, Lord, how does this apply to my life? Grip my heart as I grip your Word, because this is it. If you will grip the Word of God, and you'll use all five fingers, it's pretty hard to take that. And I want to tell you something. We live in a world that is trying to take this out of your hands. The devil has been doing it from the beginning. Did God really say? Come on. Guys, that pastor, what does he know? Here's what he knows. If I meditate upon the Word of God day and night, I will be like a tree planted by living water who yields his fruit in season and whose leaf never withers. And whatever he does will prosper. I want my life to be whatever I do prospers. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm going to live my life. Because you know what? I got a grip on this. And if I get a grip on this, God's going to have a grip on me. You got to get a grip. The discipline of the Word of God. Try it out. It'll change your life. Let's stand together. Father in heaven.